very much, Janice. Janice actually wrote both of those songs that they just arranged. Okay. Excellent. We have been looking at Christmas prophecies over the last couple of weeks on Sunday morning. And we have one more to look at this coming Sunday. We're going to be considering Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, which is on the front of your program. The passage I want to consider for a few minutes tonight is not a prophecy, but it does speak to us of prophecies fulfilled. It is Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7, which is printed on the inside of your bulletin. Let me read that for us. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. I've been especially drawn to this passage, really, because of a little Taiwanese girl that has wormed her way into her grandfather's heart. But it's the word adoption that has drawn me. And I've been doing some reading on the biblical doctrine of adoption, and I've come to realize that I really have not understood it very well. So I wanted to share just a few thoughts about adoption from this passage this evening. The first thing I want to point out is that the proper way to understand what is meant by adoption as far as our standing with God, there's a tendency to look at the things that characterize the way we adopt children as being the standard to consider adoption when we can think about adoption as far as the Christian life. That is the wrong way to do it. God the Father decreed the adoption of his children before the foundation of the world. He ordained that our adoption as Christians would take place through his Son in eternity. That came first. So when we adopt children, that's a testimony to, or an illustration in time of what God has done for us in an eternal sense. It actually has also manifested itself in time, but began in eternity. This passage we're looking at, the word adoption doesn't show up until the end of verse 5, really right in the middle there. I've got it highlighted for you. But in fact, it's the theme of the whole passage. Everything preceding the phrase adoption as sons speaks to what God has done to make that a reality. And then everything after the phrase speaks of the blessings, some of the blessings that are ours as being God's adopted sons. We need to know also something here about the phrase adoption as sons. This does not at all mean that there's no place for the adoption of daughters. Sons is used here really as a way to honor the fact that our adoption can only be accomplished through the Son of God. So adoption as sons is just as applicable to females as it is to males, just like the bride of Christ, to describe the church, includes men and women as well. So as we think about how the adoption as sons came about, we see first that all this became reality in the fullness of time. Well, this tells us, this implies to us, that it was all decreed by God beforehand. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 1:5, it actually tells us that very directly. Ephesians 1:5 says, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. So the fact that anyone is a son of God is because God decreed it to be so in eternity past. It was God who then determined that all things were ready to send his Son into the world to accomplish that gracious work. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Now this, of course, is a reminder of how it was prophesied that Christ would be born of a virgin. And being born of a woman is a reminder to us that he was fully man. He was born as a human being into the world. But we're also reminded that he is the Son of God. So that reminds us once again of something we've been considering really all month, that Christ was not only fully man, but also fully God, a major theme really of the whole story of Christmas. So that makes him the perfect mediator between God and man, the perfect one to bring men and women to God as his adopted children. So since Christ was born as a man, we are told that he was also born under the law. That means he was under the law as a covenant, just like every other person who has ever been born. To be under the law as a covenant means that in order to be right with God, we have to be in full and complete compliance with the law of God. So we must be perfectly holy in our thoughts, in our motives that come from our heart, in our words, in our actions, perfectly holy. Of course, we all fall short of what the law of God requires of us. In other words, we are in no condition to be adopted as one of his children. That is why God sent forth his Son. We then see that he sent forth his Son that he might redeem those who were under the law. It's the law that makes it clear to us that we're all slaves of sin. The law, it really exposes our sin. And it shows us really that sin is master over us. And sin will lead us to eternal destruction unless God intervenes. And he does intervene in Christ. Jesus Christ, of course, endured the punishment for sin that we are all required to pay ourselves. And that's how he redeemed us. That's how he paid the price for those who were under the law, redeeming us. But Paul doesn't stop there. As we're looking at the passage, why did God send forth his Son? Why did the Son, who is eternal God, have to endure the humiliation of being born and in such a low condition? Why was the Son placed under the law that he himself had ordained? Why did he accomplish redemption for men who were born under the law? The answer to all those questions is the last phrase of verse 5, which says, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Those are the things that all had to take place in order for us to receive the adoption as sons. We can only be adopted as sons through the work of the Son. So what the Lord had to do to enable us to be adopted as sons was clearly costly. It involved deep humiliation. It involved much rejection and suffering, bodily pain, death. Your adoption as a son of God, as a child of God, cost more than we can even comprehend. Well, that's one of the comparisons, in some sense, with adopting children. In many cases, it costs a great deal of money to adopt. It costs a great deal of time, paperwork, patience, and especially a commitment of life to that new son or daughter. But as great as that cost is, and it's very great, it cannot compare to the cost that was paid for us to be adopted as a son of God. Well, after speaking of what God did to provide for our adoption as sons, Paul then speaks of some of the blessings that come from our adoption. In verse 6, he says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. So when a child is adopted, there are many, many people involved who have various jobs, various things they need to do to make cause that adoption to come to pass. Lots of people who have to get involved from different levels and different angles. When we are adopted as a son of God, it is the work of God the Father. It is the work of God the Son. It is the work of God the Spirit. We could never be sons of God apart from the work of the Blessed Trinity. And all three members of the Trinity are listed in this passage. The Spirit of the Son of God, once again, here, the work of the Son of God is what's highlighted. Talks about the Spirit of the Son of God, the idea that every believer is indwelt by this Spirit of the Son. I mean, that's just an amazing reality. And the one aspect of the Spirit's ministry that's especially highlighted here is how He enables us to begin to comprehend the deep love and affection that the Eternal Father has for each of His children and has had before the foundation of the world. And because of this deep, eternal love and affection, the Spirit enables us to respond with affection of a child who is deeply loved. Abba Father is the expression. It's an expression of deep intimacy. So we know the triune God deeply and personally because of this. So the love that adoptive parents and an adopted child have for one another gives a taste, just a taste, of the love of God for us and our love for Him as His children. A further blessing of the adoption as sons is that every believer is no longer a slave, but is now a son. We're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer a slave to the law, bringing condemnation to us because of our sin. So, why is that the case? It's because we're in Christ. Christ has paid for that sin when He redeemed us. He has granted us legal righteousness before God. And with that as our base, we are related to God then through Christ as a son and not as a slave. Now, the final blessing we see is that since we are sons of God, that means we are His heirs. Now, the Romans used adoption in a unique way. They, for the most part, did not adopt children. Instead, they usually adopted an adult who had proved themselves to be mature, trustworthy, faithful. That's who was adopted most of the time in Roman culture. They did this so that they could entrust their inheritance to this person they were adopting and know that it was going to be well stewarded, well taken care of. So they only adopted qualified persons. Paul may be alluding to this when he says that we are adopted as sons and are therefore heirs through God. There's not a single one of us who is qualified to be a son or a daughter of God. But because of what the Son of God has accomplished for us, we are now qualified to be the sons of God. We're qualified through the Son. And we're therefore heirs of all the blessings of God. They belong to us because we're in the family. Let me just mention a few blessings. We have assurance in our relationship with our Father through Christ. There's an assurance that is there. It's a certainty. We have provision. Our Father provides for us because we're His children. We have protection from our Father because we are His children. We have guidance from our Father because we are His children. And because our Father loves us, we are disciplined by our Father. One of the greatest expressions of love. We can see those same wonderful blessings in our own families here on earth. So Christmas reminds us of really of the joy and really the wonder of adoption. Lord, I want to thank You so much for what this Christmas season reminds us of. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son has been born. That is just amazing to recognize the reality of that. And then when we realize all that's behind that, and we just kind of looked at just a couple things this evening. So many things that You have accomplished through the giving of Your Son to us. We want to thank You for the great blessing of being Your adopted children. Because that would never happen. It would never happen apart from all that Jesus Christ did on our behalf. Thank You for setting Your love on us before the foundation of the world You didn't wait to see how we were going to turn out. You didn't wait to see how much potential we had or what kind of person we were going to be. You set your love on us before the foundation of the world that we would be sons of God through the Son of God. Lord, I ask that you would help us to grow in our understanding of what an amazing relationship it is that we have with you as Christians. And it's all provided for us because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. It is truly something for us to be singing when we're going to sing in just a few moments here, Joy to the World. And we have so much to be joyful about. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray.